All right, everyone, welcome to your favorite podcast. It is a Joycast. This is episode 11, and it has been an interesting week for gaming. Not so much news, as many gaming outlets decided not to cover news, especially on Tuesday, to support kind of the issues that are cropping up around in the United States, police brutality, the Black Lives Matter movement, and well, of course, of late Blackout Tuesday. You know, I think some notable companies that participate in this include Activision, Sony, IGN, and some other gaming companies.
And the devil themselves, EA, they also participated, which was why I'm all
which leads into the next thing, that definitely not all these companies are sincere, that a lot of them are doing, like, very few of them are actually sincere, if any, regarding their regarding how much they care about this sort of thing. Because I mean, when it comes to games, it's not exactly a big secret that people of color, Black people specifically, they don't seem to occupy positions of authority or creative freedom or have much agency, you know? And a lot of this, it kind of reeks of tokenism. There's a lot of tokenism around. So that's my skeptical take on the matter.
What do you mean by tokenism?
I mean, they're just saying it because it doesn't really mean anything. They're just saying it to say it so that they don't seem, so that they appear like they care.
So, you know, I don't doubt that that's, you know, possibly true. Some people are insincere and whatnot. But I still think it's good to see, you know, some public, you know, I think it's better that they say we support Black Lives Matter than they say, yeah, you know, imagine if Sony put up a hashtag on Blackout 2 that said All Lives Matter.
I'd be so upset. I might have to go to Nintendo.
Or something like that. But I think regardless, it shows that they kind of, when they're talking about where they officially stand, right, as per public conception, they're saying that this is wrong and that police brutality should stop and et cetera. You know, whether it's publicity or, you know, however, I think it's good. I'm sure there are people in those companies that really believe that and are standing that, you know,
of course,
whether the big wigs upstairs do or do not.
I agree with you on that, to be honest, especially Sony. To buttress that point, Sony actually kind of did something that, I mean, I don't know whether or not it could really have been just a token gesture, but it was a pretty good one nonetheless, because they postponed their PS5 announcement because people were really looking forward to that. And either because of their conscience or just because of plain old common sense, they realized that now was really not quite the time to be talking about a shiny new console, especially, you know, when everything has gone to crap, more or less.
It's insensitive, you know? I saw it.
Did they have a fucking pick too? Did they need more time?
You can go ahead and say that, but I'm just going to give everybody better for I totally hear that. I mean, so it's all about, you know, for example, I think a lot of games are supposed to release new season passes or, you know, those are PS5 events, things like that. And they all got kind of postponed, which is odd. So, I mean, IGN was supposed to start their summer of games. I think they kind of postponed that a bit too. So that was everything that happened on Friday. So, I mean, the good news is next week is going to be an interesting week because we're going to see, you know, the PS5 reveal. We're going to get a lot of stuff from from IGN, unless, you know, they're all like, yeah, we're going to do the blackout for, you know, until this thing is resolved. I don't know if that's the thing.
Did they, I thought it was pointing definitely. Did they actually say it's postponed till next week, or did they just say it's postponed? Because there's a difference.
They said, I think it was postponed indefinitely, but I think a lot of people are just expecting it to come this week. I don't know.
Because this protest has it's less talked about on social media, but the protests are still ongoing.
Yeah, the protests are still ongoing. Like it seems they've even escalated, but we'll see. I don't. I think what they'll do is whatever is right for the marketing cycle. When it won't dampen, you know, what else they're doing. But for example, I know, for example, they're still releasing videos for The Last of Us 2 quietly, but they're releasing them for people who are already watching, expecting them on particular days. They're getting those videos. So, I mean, they haven't stopped all marketing per se, right? Because, you know, I think what they're just going to say is that, oh, wow, sorry. I just realized I'm on Google. And I can see that at the bottom of the page, Google has said, we stand in support of access to justice and racial equality for all those in search of it. So it seems like a lot of companies agree, especially since they... especially since a lot of them have been trying to become more diverse workplaces. And they publish the numbers each year, but none of them have really improved their diversity since 2014.
Oh, my days.
What's your take on the Reddit owner stepping down, Reddit CEO stepping down, and saying that he would speak to the board to have a black person take up his position? What's your take on that?
Well, I think it's pretty cool. Obviously, the fallback excuse, or rather the fallback complaint that people have is, oh, choose the person that's right for the job, not because of the color of their skin. So that's a real concern. Yeah. But the issue is, at this point in time, if you have a bucket that's full and another bucket that's completely empty, if you want to get them both to the same level, you're going to have to completely ignore one and fill the other, logically speaking. So I think there's no reason... You can't, the founder of Reddit, the CEO or whatever, can basically go ahead and pick, you know, someone of color who also has like the qualifications, because there's no doubt there's a number of people who'd be able to do just that, who'd be able to take on the job, but, you know, give the priority to black people. So, I mean, It's a dicey situation, but to be honest, it's not a situation of our making, and it's something we need to come to terms with. So I think good on him for making a solid attempt. Hopefully, it will encourage more of the same. Hopefully, you know.
Yeah. So another thing I found incredibly interesting was the amount of racism that exists in the game community. Like I said, when I saw the Sony post, I kind of thought, oh my gosh, Sony, I brought a tear to my eye, and I went to the comments, because sometimes, you know, when you look at things, you usually get a lot of support in the comments. Man, oh, I have never seen, like, racism.
Oh no, you went to the comments.
He went to the comments.
There was so much racism in the comments and hate and anger. And I was just like, why? I was like, I don't see why people need to be upset that, you know,
the thing is that
I saw this video today of this guy saying he's never given another cent to, I think, any console, because how dare they support a movement that threatens his people.
Oh my days.
If you are a white man, you are the most privileged human. You are part of the most privileged group on the planet. Now, I don't know, but I can tell that he's a cis white man. So he's already three quarters the most similar person on the planet by default. So what are we talking about?
Yeah, so I think the problem is a lot of people, they see their privilege, they can't see their privilege, right? Reason they can't see their privilege is because they've been born into it, and they think that's just regular life. And they think, whatever happens to me, like whatever I experience, that's good. Everybody else has that ability to experience it, right? Because they just don't see it from the other side, especially when a lot of them are living in predominantly, you know, white neighborhoods, and a lot of media portrays black people as, you know, angry, violent. Every time in the movie, it's like, oh, he's a comedian, or he's a drug dealer, or he's a bad, you know, do you understand? It's like, there's some stereotypes that are alive and well. And essentially, that's the world they live in. They live in this bubble that has been created by media and by these racist institutions.
It's just wild.
I also think it's a case of everyone's special, no one's special.
Yeah, I mean.
So yeah. if you get your perks or you get your advantages and stuff, and everyone in your immediate environment is getting that, so it just feels like an evil playing field.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like that, but they're not aware of the other things. So, like, for example, a lot of them aren't born into like a poor neighborhood and seeing like, okay, this is what people have to do to survive, and it's not easy because, you know. And anyway, let's not even get into that. It's like it's just too long. It's like there's too much stuff talking there. So let's not even talk about that. Let's move on from there. Okay, back to gaming.
I just want to say something. Like, you know what would make me really laugh? Because this guy saying he's not going to buy any console because all the console makers are complaining. If Epic and Steam come out and say the same thing, where is he going to get his game? Because it's like, you know, saying, I don't want to hear from Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft. They are, quote unquote, they are supporting a group that's threatening my people, my race. So it's like, okay, so if Epic, so all I need to say is my PC, yeah. So if Epic comes out and says it, then Steam says it, or Valve says it, and then like this or that guy, Humble Bundle, if everyone comes out and says the same thing, is it just going to give up gaming forever? Like, I'm actually genuinely curious.
I would hope that he ends up being faced with that dilemma where he must give up video games and everything he loves because essentially everybody supports the Black Lives Matter movement. Anyway, so I mean, like, so overall, I think it was really positive to see a lot of the, you know, kind of big hitters in gaming support the movement, support you know, this fight, because the fight isn't about, unlike what the person that was saying that the people that say all lives matter and all that kind of stuff, the fight isn't to say that Black Lives are more special than other people. It's saying that it's clear that there's discrimination, right? Racism, and it's an institutional, as at an institutional level, and it makes it difficult for these people. And the fact that, you know, police can brutalize people and, you know, go on with their next job killing people and not care. Like, I think the person that killed George Floyd, that set his neck. I think he had like, what, 13 infractions before, or 9 infractions before, or something like that, right? It was ridiculous. So, like, you know, like, he was able to be out on the street. He was able to live to the point, he was able to work until the point where he was able to finally kill somebody, even though he had so many infractions against his name. And that's what the whole movie is about. It's about ensuring that, you know, there's no more police brutality for everybody, right? But especially that's targeted against, you know, Black people. We've seen that when it comes to this issue, like, we've seen people getting hurt. There was a 75-year-old man that got pushed on the floor by some young police officer when he was talking to him. Like, you don't, and then I think a pool of blood started falling out of his ear. I don't think you don't treat people like that, you know? And then another cop.
Yeah. Sorry. Just to emphasize that point as well, there's another particular thing about that old man that was pushed over. Now, that was an older white man that was pushed over. Now, that is someone that you would naturally assume that their privilege would actually protect them. So you see, what the police is now doing is that in order to maintain their rights, in air quotes, to beat up anyone and everyone, without repercussion, they're now no longer focusing solely on black people, but they're now lashing out at everybody. Yeah, in the, so in there, it's like it's like, a really messed up form of equality. So that now instead of just black people, now we're going to beat all of you. That like, is that is what they're doing.
Like, can you see we're not racist? Look, we beat up this old white guy.
Oh my lord.
Yeah. No, I mean for that particular issue, the way I look at it is I'm not even thinking about I think what it is like anybody that doesn't support us is a threat. And then we've been given license to kind of take down anybody that doesn't agree with us. You know, I think that's what it was. It's like, I think it was so unnecessary that thing he did, the way the guy was talking to him and he just pushed him. Like it made no sense. You can escort a man anyway. And I think it's just a disgrace. It's just really a disgrace. I think it was clearly a time where a younger police officer was trying to come assist, help the guy get up. And then they pushed him away. They like, no, leave him alone.
There have been so many videos of the police just being unnecessarily violent. Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that I want to make sure is that I'm not trying to get too political in this particular episode. I just want to make sure that we can celebrate the fact that gaming stood up, and I'm proud to be a gamer in this time, right? And it would be great if we could see some real changes come from this, especially within the game companies themselves. I do believe that it should always be the best man for the job, but I do believe that you should give a lot of people the opportunity to become the best man or best woman for the job.
Agreed.
Yeah, 100%.
So, with that said, I mean, any actual gaming news this week? I mean, there was the release of The Last of Us 2. What's it called? There was an extended cinematic trailer, and there was also one more there behind the scenes. I haven't watched it yet myself, but I do hear it was really good. I'll be watching it, and we'll probably do a catch up on all the stuff Last of Us 2 as it's meant to launch next week, right? Am I all right? Or the week after?
There's a new trailer for the Pokemon DLC.
Yeah.
Oh yeah!
The trailer for which DLC? Sorry,
Pokemon.
Okay, nice.
Actually, it looked nice, but
something comes up.
I don't know. It looked nice. And this is hard for me because I'm a Pokemon fan, but it's like, okay, yeah, like it's nice, but is it just? I don't know what it is that I'm looking for, but I didn't find it. And it upsets me because I like Pokemon. But it's one of those things where like I'll know it when I see it. Because like, yeah, they're adding this whole new area. You can catch all these Pokemon that everybody knew they were going to bring back, even though they said they weren't going to bring anyone back. But we all knew they were going to bring them back. And quite frankly, I'm just happy that I completed my Pokédex before this, because now I still get to keep my certificate. But it's like...
I still haven't completed my Pokédex. I've not opened Pokemon since like the first or second week we played that.
That's your personal. See, I've collected my certificate. I don't care. But
people can't finish their Pokédex. You're all special people, man. You have a different kind of inner strength.
It was very easy in this game because the Pokédex was like they cut it down.
It was much easier to do in this game. That's why this is the first Pokédex I've completed. Like,
interesting.
Exactly. I've been playing Pokémon since Red and Blue, and this is the first one I've completed.
Yeah, because before you had to trade across, you couldn't trade online. You had to trade in Unity Stick.
I wasn't going to go ahead and ask your brother, please, can you buy me a cable to that guy? Who did I even know that had a gift for it? And I was like, that big. I was looking for extra hardware so I can trade with them. that was not going to work.
I hope the next Pokemon they make, they stop doing this dual nonsense, because that's why it does capture all the Pokemon in game.
Why would they stop when they're making double money?
It's annoying. Do you know why it's annoying? Because if I can't buy Sword and Shield and trade between them, right? I still have to trade with somebody else.
Oh no!
There's some hardcore people that will buy Sword and Shield.
No! Even if you have Sword and Shield, you can't actually trade between them on the same device.
Yeah, exactly.
I had Diamond and Pearl. So I remember finishing Diamond, then I finished Pearl in like a day or so. Then got to my cousin's TS, then swapped the Pokemon that I needed.
Yeah.
Back in the day when I still emulated, wait, Kole, if this is illegal, please cut this out. But back in the day,
don't worry, if 10 years have passed, it's statute of limitations.
When I was playing Pokemon, I think Ruby and Sapphire ROMs on Visual Boy on my computer, I would run two instances of the game, and you can actually trade between them. That was the wild thing. That was the cool number, Visual Boy. You could trade between them. So that was how I would like evolve like my Haunter into a Gengar or my Kadabra into an Alakazam, because like I just trade between them. It was great. That's what I used to do back then.
Like, Elite.
Which makes sense. Well, guys, you know, I don't think it was in a country where they were even selling Game Boys then. Let's just lie and say that. He's covered. Yeah. Okay. No. So I think it's all good. I think the only thing that I'm just annoyed about is there's not much differences in the game. There was no real need to separate the two games. You can have a one game. You could choose Red or Blue or Sword or Shield inside the one file. Do you understand? I think it's just a ripoff at this point in time to not be able to get a certain Pokemon. I feel like you should just do that. And then, yeah, that's it. Let me play on both. Let me play both in either mode and do it. There's so many games that do things like that. So that's why I'm just kind of not really feeling Pokemon the way it is now. I know it's been traditional, but like I said, I think they can do better. They can grow. I think they're lazy. I think they're just lazy. They can do this. They can do much better.
Definitely, I think.
But that's just my opinion, guys. Nintendo fans, don't kill me, please. Thank you.
I'm a Nintendo fan, and I played Shield, and I enjoyed it, but I could see there was legitimacy in the complaints people had. To be honest, there's no reason why there was no voice acting of any kind in that game. Like, even if they kept it for the big cutscene, there should have been some kind of voice acting. The post-game stuff, I think, was lacking. The best example of Pokemon post-game, Gold and Silver, or Heart Gold and Soul Silver. My goodness.
The best to date.
To date, Heart Gold and Soul Silver are my best Pokemon games, like just in general. Because they were
Well, in all fairness, well, for me also, I'd say a rival to that would have been Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. Like the Zeta thing with Zinnia, it was actually pretty incredible.
I really
liked those characters.
It was I was actually quite good, but for me,
It was pretty mind blowing.
You finish Johto and you're like, you can still go to camp. And like, what?
And then you see all the old gym leaders, all your old dudes that showed up.
Changed and gotten older. I feel like it was actual Pokemon, probably only Pokemon sequels. First, because it's Black 2 and White 2, I think. But then, it kind of hurts that they've not done anything like that again. Especially because I mean, they did try with Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, but the thing is, especially with the kind of reception that got, they know how much everybody loved it, and they've not really tried anything like that again. I don't understand why they haven't had like like, there was no reason why we couldn't have, like, a region that connects to, like, oh, like, Sino or something. You know, like, I'm pretty sure Nintendo has looked at having a Sino, a Gen 4 remake and all that, but it's just, come on. Yes, you can be better. Like, Pokemon can be so much better than it already is. I like how it is, but you can see what could be, and it hurts. It actually hurts.
I'm pretty sure I know why. I think I know. I'm very sure I know what's going on with Game Freak at the moment. There's I have actually, even despite the fact that I completely went off Pokemon from Sun and Moon, to be honest, I haven't even gotten to the first Kahuna or whatever the gym leader is. But it has to do with the direction in which those games are going. And obviously, it has to do with profits. Naturally, if you can put in only a little effort and still get the same amount of money, naturally, that is what you would do. Now, this particular line of thinking was further validated with the emergence of Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go made a whole bunch of cash, a lot. Yeah. And it sent a message to them, like, it took the world by storm. And so Pokemon Go, it was a really amazing thing. But in terms of the people in charge of the mainline Pokemon games, it was bad, because what that meant was that they now had less power. They have less power. And that's why things like the new mobile game, Pokemon Masters, that's gaining more prevalence, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, it's all about money, because they're still a company and they still want to make profits. And so why spend so much effort doing all these extra things that people loved? And like, why would they do that when they can just do this other thing that people also loved but made them so much more money? Pokemon is becoming more and more casual. And Game Freak realizes this, which is why they made an attempt and they went sort of off the rails with the making of that new JRPG town that they tried to do. That was them trying to build their escape raft, more or less, because otherwise it could get to the point where Game Freak as a game-making company wouldn't matter all that much, because, you know, there's other companies that own them and the stuff that they do. So,
It's all about profits. No, you know, just like, here's the thing, though. I actually agree with a lot of what you said, and I did read something like that in the past. So it's like, Game Freak used to be the goose that laid the golden eggs. But it's not now. Its eggs have turned to silver or even bronze, and now the mobile gaming scene is where they are. But here's the thing: like, I feel, but it's just that Nintendo is playing a dangerous game, because, okay, you saw the, like, yeah, there was a lot of complaints with Sword and Shield release, and yeah, it's still sold. Mm-hmm. But those, like, I'm pretty sure there's more people like me out there that, yeah, we enjoyed it, but we felt it was lacking. If they do this, because Pokemon has taken to releasing a new game every year, like Call of Duty, just that people haven't noticed. These expansions are serving as the game for this year, but so you know, having a brand new game, just expanding the game, they're having two DLC packs, because if you remember, the game actually came out last year, so that's sure. So probably 2021, we're looking at another set, and people are thinking it will be Gen 4 remakes. I'm just thinking that if they don't fix up, the number of voices shouting for more is going to get, the number of voices is going to increase, the voices are going to get louder. And people might actually, right now I'm contemplating not even getting this DLC, because it's like, to me. And I can't be the only one of my kind, although, I know I am not the quote-unquote target audience. It's more of the little kids that really don't know what they are getting, or they don't have the history.
Yeah.
That I do. But I'm saying, like, it's going to get, it may get to a point where this whole coasting thing that they're doing might start to yield diminishing returns. At least, you know what, I actually kind of hope it does, so that it wakes them up a little bit, you know? Because mm-hmm. I don't like where this is going. Because what you said makes perfect sense. They're making more money from the mobile games, although they use the mainline games to introduce new Pokemon. That's basically what they're for. But doesn't stop them from, like, writing a proper story, for goodness sake, or, like, a good story. or, like, having areas that are not just towns that are not just, like, one pass of straight line with buildings on either side, you know? It's frustrating.
It is. Yeah. It is.
I can tell. I can hear your frustrations, guys. So I apologize on Nintendo's behalf, just because I empathize with you. But what I would say is, unless somebody comes up and shakes the boat and brings in a Pokemon killer that's unexpected, they'll continue to do whatever they're doing, right? It's only people that innovate in the space. If something could legitimately take away the sales of Pokemon for them and innovate in the same type of gameplay but much better and do some really cool things, and everybody left Pokemon for that, that's when they'd wake up and start trying to innovate again. It's my thoughts, even though.
Exactly. Temtem is a Pokemon killer in theory only. Do you understand the size of Nintendo? The power that they wield. Do you understand?
The truth of the matter is, it is, as it is right now, it's better than Pokemon in every single conceivable way except one, the most important one, which is the appeal of the character design. The appeal of the character designs has been Pokemon's selling point. It's literally, it's the only thing, it's their single greatest asset. And from what I've seen of Temtem, a bunch of them look okay, but personally to me, not quite as good looking as Pokemon, at least not thus far. However, with the more recent generations, I'm starting to feel that Pokemon are looking less and less great. They still look pretty good, a couple of them, but there's starting to be like a decline in quality of the designs, more or less. So that's really the key thing. That's the linchpin around which everything is going to revolve. If the general art style is actually good, you know, the shaders and all that sort of stuff, but if they can make the actual designs super appealing, accessible to a lot of ages, then they will. That's when they could be a Pokemon killer in truth. But until that happens, you're right. I don't think so. It's only in theory, as you said, Apple.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, that's amazing. So, I mean, we don't really have much else to talk about. Any other news anybody wanted to cover? I mean, okay, sorry. I have one thing. There was a little bit of news to kind of get people hyped up for whenever the PS5 is going to be revealed, since it's now indefinite or whatever. So basically, it was just, you know, there's been a lot of controversy or discussion around Unreal Engine 5 tech demo. And I think what became clear was the CEO, what was his name? Tim Sweeney or Tom Sweeney?
Tim. Sweeney? I think Tim sounds right. Tom? Oh, no. My apologies, Tim.
All right. So one of the two, anyway. He was just like, that basically they had already kind of had a solid idea of where Unreal Engine 5 was going. They built all the tools and everything. And then because of the PS5 super fast SSD, they're like, oh shit, this changes a lot of things. And so they literally had to rewrite the different aspects of it to cater for what they could now do with the SSD. So that's some interesting things, some hype. But the good news is that whatever changes they made is going to benefit every single platform, not just the PS5. Even though the PS5 SSD will still benefit the most from it. But then the thing is, in the future, anybody that brings in a super fast SSD would benefit from it. And I think one thing we can be sure of is that if the SSD does end up being a game changer, your next Xbox Series X version, the update will definitely have it. Your PCs, you know, I mean, there's certain PCs that can reach similar speeds, But then I think that's, it's all going to become more prevalent, and everybody's going to be able to immediately take advantage of all those features.
So. Mm. Yeah, that'd be pretty dope. That'd be really good. That's actually one other thing I've also really liked about Sony. Sony has been responsible for ushering a bunch of new technologies to the world at large, actually. There we go, like Blu-rays, Walkmans, TVs as well. And then obviously with the game consoles as well. They basically made Blu-rays, they pushed it to every household because of them. Like Blu-rays were just like, used to be like a niche thing that richer enthusiasts like got their hands on, and it was like, okay, yeah, only a few people knew about it or a few people could enjoy them. But Sony was like, okay, we're going to take that huge loss and we're going to make sure that this PS3 can give you all this good stuff. And I think it just might very well be the same for the SSDs.
It could very much be.
Yeah, so I'm very much looking forward to that.
To make the PS3 cheaper than the Blu-ray.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was the real big thing. They took a lot of losses, actually. You're right there. So I'm pretty
And it's a similar strategy they used for the PS2, right? So PS2 ended up, you know, bringing DVD to almost everybody. It's one of the eventually became one of the cheapest DVD players everyone could get. So it was like, why get an expensive DVD player when you can get a PS2 that also plays DVDs?
That's what a lot of people used to get PS2s. They're like, we need to get a DVD player. Well, okay, yeah, but we could get this thing. It's cheaper than a DVD player. So let's buy it. And then, secretly, you bought a games console.
That looked like a
fancy DVD player.
Yeah, very sneaky, very sneaky of them. I love it.
Yes. All right. Any other things anybody wants to cover before we wrap this up?
I have nothing really to say except everyone play Final Fantasy 14, I guess. And everyone has to play it. It's by force.
Did you not download the? I feel like you have a good PC. You should have downloaded Valorant at least just to see what it's about.
Who should have downloaded?
I tried to get into it, but I think there was like a closed beta or something.
No. Valorant is out now. It's released. I was actually going to download it, then I saw stuff like, signing in with Riot and stuff. I was like, yeah, I know. And I just mentally checked out. I'll probably still do it later, to be honest. But at that point in time, I really wasn't in the mood. Do you understand? Like, just more of my personal data up for grabs. I hate to see it.
Maybe you can handle it, but is it on this, on any of the stores, or is it like a proprietary thing? Because it seems, you know what, I'm not going to handle it. Who am I joking? Who am I kidding?
Wow, chaotic.
I think I want
to give Valorant a try. I think Valorant is good because it's basically an updated CSGO. And on top of that, they added a bit more flavor with the hero-based abilities. I think what they did was pretty smart, in that CSGO has a really dedicated fan base. It's great and it's still strong after years. And I think what they did was a version of trying not to fix what isn't broken. So they kept it as bare bones as possible, really skill-based, but then they still added a bit of flair and a bit of color to attract newer people. I think that's what they did. And just as an aside, oh my days, the animated trailer for the game is so beautiful. Like the animation for Phoenix alone, there was a particular scene. And I think anyone who is listening to this they probably know the exact moment I'm talking about, that he made a motion and it was just the coolest looking thing ever. And I was like, okay, I'm paying attention. If I wasn't before, I am now.
I haven't seen any of this stuff. I haven't even looked for it. I'm not even sure what's like. I haven't even looked up the trailer for Valorant.
Oh my God. Do you know what? Get off the podcast now. I'm sending you a link. Just like, get
you
out.
You know what? The podcast is about to end, so you can just wait. You know, until end.
No, I demand we cancel it right now. This is an emergency. No.
I'm just shocked by the amount of the level to which I don't care. It's so bad.
Yeah. Like,
Nah, I'm not shocked. At this point in time, we're quite aware you don't care about a lot of things that happen. It's okay.
Solid apathy.
I'm in
Lies. Right.
But yeah, guys, thank you for listening to this podcast. I think we've covered everything good. You know, Black Lives Matter. And yeah, I mean, really proud of the gaming industry for showing some support, whether superficial or deep. We applaud everybody that's kind of stood up to fight for justice and equality. And yeah, guys, you know, have a great day. Hop on the FF14; it is actually dope. I'll be hopping on that right after this podcast.
You never got off. I'm pretty sure you're still logged in right now.
I'm logged in, but I'm AWK. No, AFK. There we go. I'm AFK. I'm sitting on the steps of Uldar. Check my search info. Get on the game and check my search info. I'm sitting on a bench on the steps of Uldar. AFK. And yeah, so games I'm playing are basically OG Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VII Remake, and Final Fantasy XIV. It's a Final Fantasy kind of time for me right now.
Yeah, go love it.
Right, I'll take your word for it. What am I even playing? I'm still playing Trials of Mana, Final Fantasy 12, Final Fantasy 14 because of these people. So Square still has their own business.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 12, the best one.
It is, honestly, it really is.
That's
Square
Sweet
Enix, if you're if any representative of Square Enix is listening, Tetsuya Nomura, if you're here, if you're listening right now, I'm begging you, talk to your boys, Ivalice, bring it back. I'm begging you. That's all we need. Just bring Ivalice back. I'm begging you. That's all I wanted to say. Love your work. It will bring back what?
Final Fantasy Tactics World as a mobile game.
Oh my God. See, that's when, do you know what? I might join the streets and start protesting, but for an entirely different reason. Let's put it that way. Start flipping cars and shit, man. I am ready to do it. Oh, man. But that actually puts a new idea in my head, like Tactics Remake. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I would just start crying. I would just start crying at the announcement. Inconsolable, I would be. Oh well, and on that note, I'm off.
On that note, Torrent Senpai, what are you playing? And
I'm playing Space Pioneer on the Switch.
Space Pioneer on the Switch. Enjoying it?
And I'm still.
Oh, what kind of game is that? I've never heard of it before.
Yeah. So, all the games where you use the right analog stick to
aim. Oh, is that a twin stick shooter?
And top down.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Elite. Love it.
Nice. We'll definitely check that out. Oh. I love twin stick shooters, actually. Actually, really love them. All right, guys. Well, it's been great. And we will see you in the next show. I think we'll do a bit of a Last of Us 2 special as we prepare for the launch of Last of Us 2. And, of course, we'll be covering the regular gaming news as per usual. And we'll see you in the next show. Have a great time, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to our podcast, guys. Don't forget to subscribe. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at JoysticksNG. That's JoysticksNG. We also make awesome YouTube videos. You can check out our channel, Joysticks Entertainment. We have tons of content up and more coming every single week. We just covered Apex Legends Season 5 update with Loba. Subscribe there too so you don't miss any of the exciting stuff we've got coming your way, and see you in the next one.
Ooh, it's raining.
All right, it's raining money, it's raining swag. I don't know, was it actually raining?
It's raining, no. Man. Hallelujah, it's raining, and, man. It
probably gets your end in like 3 minutes or so.
That's going to be our sign off song now. It's going to be at the bottom of it. All right, podcast over.